Let's go in the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to go there in chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. It is in the Old Testament, and because it's 2 Kings, is right after 1 Kings. So, you know that we pastor in Romania because we're used to tell people things like this, to teach people where they can find chapters in the Bible. And if you, somebody next to you, see they are struggling with finding 2 Kings in the Bible, ask them, you're not in Sunday school, I guess. Well, I was not in Sunday school either when I was growing up. And I've been walking with the Lord for over 21 years. And I enjoyed every single minute of it, of me walking with the Lord, not when I was not walking with the Lord, that's miserable life, but when you walk with the Lord is the best life. But I enjoy serving the Lord over 21 years, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and over 20 years of prophesying over people. So I enjoy the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I enjoy seeing people blessed by the Holy Spirit. And I tell people, man, as a kid, I was so adventurous. I had such a wild personality. I played soccer, we call it football back at home, and martial arts. So nobody will mess with me this morning. And then I volleyball, handball, all types of sports. And I thought, oh, I wonder how it's going to be now to follow Jesus. I thought maybe it's going to be boring. And I never enjoyed being bored. Like if there was something that was looking too nice, I had to do something to stir up, you know, the atmosphere, to change something. So then I realized once I met the Holy Spirit, that life with God is never boring. Because you never know what the Holy Spirit is going to do. So let's say this morning, come Holy Spirit. And do whatever you want to do. We pray, Father, that you release the anointing. We pray that you come and you move among us. There are so many needs here this morning, but you can fill every single one of the needs of your precious people. So we pray that you come and you bless us and move among us. Show yourself faithful. Show yourself strong. Show who you are. Reveal yourself to us in this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So 2 Kings chapter 5. Hallelujah. You guys, I think that you realize that I'm not from around here. Probably my accent gave it away. I'm from Romania, which is in Eastern Europe, and from Transylvania. That's what we call the part of the country where I come from. So if you didn't hear of Romania yet, probably you heard of Transylvania, and that's where I was born, raised, and grew up, and we like garlic. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Okay, so I'm going to stop here for a while. The Bible in verse 1 in chapter 5, it starts here in 2 Kings with this, Naaman. Well, his name means beauty or beautiful. And it was a name that was the name of God that they worshipped. And God was going to reveal himself to this man soon after this whole situation. But he was a pagan man. He didn't know the true God of Israel. He didn't know about worshiping God. No, didn't know. He was definitely not born again at that time. And he was a general. He was a strong man, a powerful man, a mighty man. And God truly wants to raise men up, I believe so, to be powerful and mighty and be strong leaders. All over the world, the enemy attacks men. Because there is a calling that men have to be leaders. And God is going to do something very unusual, I believe, even the years to come, even next year, among men. and men will become what God called them to be, in the spirit as in the natural. But this man was powerful, he was strong, a general, he was famous, he was well known. Everybody in the whole country knew him. He was not like one of us that not too many people know about, but he was well known. He had influence. He was strong in his strength, in his abilities to use weapons. He was strong because he had the power of his king with him. He had an army. But still, he had leper, because nobody is perfect. We all have our weaknesses. We all have that place in our life where we need God. We all have that place in our life that will draw us close to God. Because God will leave that place somewhere in our lives, in our souls, in our emotions, to get us to the cross. He doesn't want our weakness to make us leave Him, abandon Him, or go away from Him. But He wants us to bring our weakness in His presence. Because He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Not by my own strength, not by my own valor, but because of Him. Because of who He is. His strength will make my weakness strong. Here, this man had a problem. And today, in this place, in this morning, every single one of us, we have that one place where we need the Lord. We need a miracle from Him. Today I want to talk about steps towards your miracle. Steps towards your miracle. What are the steps that we need to take to get miracles in our lives? This man, he had a sickness, an infirmity, that usually what happened during that time, especially in Israel, he would have been in a situation where he would have to be isolated. If he was part of the Jewish culture at the time, he could not have been a general. He could not have been with his family. He could not have been with his wife, with his kids, to hold his baby. He could not have been around people. He would have to be an outcast. And there are things many times in our life that the enemy will try to use to isolate us, to stop us from having intimacy, to stop us from having close relationships, to stop us from having good relationships in our own family, to open our hearts to people around us, to be able to communicate with our siblings or with our parents or with our relatives. For many people, when they think of Thanksgiving, there is a pain that comes in their heart because that means family. And they think about their families like, oh no, I'm going to see that one, I'm going to see that other person, or I don't have somebody that I can spend time with during Thanksgiving. And so there are things in our lives that the enemy uses to stop us from having close relationships and to get closer to people, because God wants us to be relational. He has created man from the beginning not to be by himself. And it was not just because he was a man, but because of humankind, that it was not supposed to be alone and lonely. And loneliness comes many times in people's lives. And if we choose loneliness, it's not something healthy, and it will get us into a place of desperation, because you're not created to be alone or lonely. We can be alone but not feel lonely. We can have people around us and still feel lonely. Because what happened with Adam was that God looked at him and said, it is not good for man to be alone. And it was not just because he was a male, but because God created man to have social relationships. That's why we need the church. Right. Because it is not healthy for Christians to not be in the body of Christ, in the church. We can think, oh yes, the universal body of Christ, that is Christians from all over the world that we know and we might know, but we have brothers and sisters all over the world in different nations. Amen. And that's why we love those countries, because even if our nation was at war with another nation, we have to love that nation because we have brothers and sisters in that country. And we have to love them, and we always respect them and respect their anthem. I remember there was a time when I went in the States for my first football game, American football, and it was in Louisiana. And I enjoyed it, and when I stepped on the football field there, and they started playing the national anthem, and I'm not American, but the minute that I heard it, I'm telling you, just tears came down running on my face, and I put my hand on my heart, and I stood there like so happy and crying. Why? I just felt overwhelmed by people loving their country, because we are supposed to love the place where God has placed us. And then I was thinking that I would still be in communism unless it was for America that was involved in setting my nation free. So I want us to learn that we can be grateful, we can love our countries. This man, this general, he was loved by his nation. His whole nation loved him. Because through him, God gave a huge victory in his country. And through him, God brought freedom to the whole nation of Syria. And I still believe that today, God is going to do the same thing in the nation of Syria. That God is going to bring deliverance to those people that are in pain and hurting. And this man, he was suffering probably every single day because of his sickness. Now, he was a person that was outside of the covenant of grace. He was not a Jewish person to have a covenant with God, because God promised the Jewish people, because you are my people, I'm going to heal you. He did not have that promise. He was from another country, for he was not even worshiping God. And that man, every single day, he had to deal with his situation, with his weakness, with his infirmity. Do you know what I like about him at this point? Is that that did not stop him from fighting. He didn't stay at home to complain and say, I have leprosy. He didn't stay home and say, I'm in pain. I cannot go and do this. We cannot allow things that happen in our life to stop us from going to church, from serving God, from going to work in the morning. Amen. We cannot let the enemy play with our emotions like that. This man, even though he was a leper, he went on the battlefield. And it's not easy to go and fight when you are in pain. When you are in pain, the natural reaction is to stay at home and feel sorry for yourself. That is the human nature. But this man, even so in great pain, and probably shame too. And isn't that interesting? That as a leader, he was dealing with something that was shameful. Isn't that interesting? That he had to overcome something that usually people that were poor and coming from not the general family, not from the leader's family in the whole country, no, from poor families would struggle with. And he had the same struggle. He was feeling what his own people were feeling. And he went to fight. When there was a battle, he was on the battlefield. And we need to have the same type of a mindset. We're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. We're not going to draw back, but we're going to push forward, even over our emotions and the thoughts that the enemy will try to come and harass us with, but we're going to push forward. Now, in the middle of this whole situation, it says in verse 2, now the Syrians on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." If we look at this verse, I want us to see something here. This little girl was probably playing somewhere around her house. And the Syrians came, it was a raid, and stole the little girl from her own house. Her parents were not with her any longer. Her siblings were not with her. She was now an orphan. She was now a slave. She was in a situation against her own will. She didn't want to be there. She didn't choose to be there. And there are times in our lives when we'll be in circumstances that we did not choose. Somebody else made that choice for us. Somebody else got us into that trouble. And for sure we can say, it's not my fault. It's not my fault that this happened to me. It was somebody else that made this decision in my place. I wish I was back at home and enjoy my mother's cooking. By the way, you guys in the South know how to cook. I'm telling you, this is like my favorite place where to go to travel, because you have the best food. It's so good. Yesterday I had some type of Cajun food. Now I like it spicy. I like it really spicy. So David was eating. The thing was like, this is spicy. I was like, okay, just leave it for me. I'm going to enjoy it. So if somebody says, oh, this is no good, just let them complain and you eat it. This little girl was now in a different culture, a different country. She was not in her comfort zone. She was not in her familiar place. And things happen in our life when all of a sudden we don't feel comfortable anymore. We're not familiar with this place anymore. Everything around us looks different. Something changed in our lives. Something changed in our family. Maybe working place. Maybe a different house where you live today. Your surrounding is different. But many times it happens in the spirit without us even being aware of. There's something in the spirit changes. And you're like, I don't know what's happening. But it's not the same thing as it used to be. And this little girl did not speak that language. And she had a family that maybe spoiled her. Like kids, it's wonderful to spoil kids. I love spoiling kids. That little girl now, she had to be with some people that were treating her wrong. She had to work hard. She couldn't say, now it's time for me to go and play. She was serving somebody that was responsible for her own pain. She was serving somebody that didn't once ask, would you like to go and see your mom and your dad? She was serving another woman. And as women, you look at the little kids and you cannot help but loving them. And if you see that little girl and you think, why is she crying today? She's probably missing her mom. She's missing her dad. Maybe she's thinking of her siblings. Well, I was talking with Pastor Stephen from Camden yesterday in India. And we were talking to them and they told us how their oldest son, Ethan, went to college. And the little girl that they have, Jillian, was missing her brother. She was missing her brother because she was used to having her brother around. Now think now of this little girl. She didn't have a smartphone. She didn't have FaceTime to communicate with her family. And that woman that she was serving, not even once asked her, would you like to go It's your mom and dad. Because that would have been impossible. That would have meant that she'd have to give up the servant she had just received in her house. And what's happening next? What's happening next is something that is so spectacular and powerful. And something that resembles of the most pure form of love and innocence and kindness that this girl chooses to do and to show to them. Because this girl, she looked one day, and when the general came back home, she saw he has leprosy. And now she could have done many things. She could have reacted in so many ways. She could have said this, well, he deserves it. He has killed many people. He deserves it. It's because of his own army that I'm here. He deserves it. I wish him dead. She could have said that. How many times didn't we think like that? How many times when in pain, we didn't think, well, maybe him or her will just disappear somehow, and then my problem will go away. This little girl could have said, well, look at him. He is a leper, and mock him. And there are some of us here today that people mocked our weaknesses. Those things that we didn't even know that were weak in our life, but somehow people told us, oh, you're so weak. I was now at the conference there in Indiana, and a couple, they have a big pastoral staff, and one of the couples that pastors there, they are African American. And Pastor Martha shared this story. We go out for breakfast every single time when we go there and spend time with this couple because they are extremely wise. So we ask them a lot of questions about church life and leading church. So she shared this story. She said, as a little girl, I went once with my grandmother to somebody's house. And we went there to this house so that we can help because she was cleaning the house and I wanted to help my grandmother. But my grandmother said, you can just play. And she went outside and she played with the girl that belonged to that family that was a white family. And that other girl looked at her and said, well, she said, what's with your hands? Show me your hands. Go and wash your hands, she told the little African-American girl, which was Pastor Martha. And she said, you should go and wash your hands. And she said, why? Your hands are so dirty, she told her. And she said, no, my hands are clean. I'm not dirty, my hands are clean. And she said, until then, I didn't know that I was different. Until then, I didn't think that this was a weakness for me. I remember when coming to the States for the first time and thinking, oh no, I have an accent. And my accent was my weakness. I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to pray for people. I was dreading it. Because I felt like that was my weakness. But then people would ask me in airports, in different grocery stores, they would come to me and say, where are you from? You have such a beautiful accent. Where are you from? And I would start crying many times. And then I realized God is going to use this so I can talk to people. They will ask me, where are you from? Because of my accent. And then I can tell them that I'm a pastor in Romania. And I can tell them about Jesus. And I looked at Pastor Martha's hands. I would have never thought so. And her hands are beautiful. And she never allowed that thing to stop her from loving people. This little girl in the story, she didn't allow offense to come. She didn't allow anger to come. Because, you know, anger, offense, unforgiveness, all of these things will stop us from our miracle. Will stop us from serving people. Will stop us from loving people. Will stop us from our destiny. And this girl was on her way to her destiny. And her destiny was to bring somebody, a general, that could change a whole country. into the presence of God. And you are that person that can bring one that is a general into the presence of God. Just like it was with Ananias. He was just a disciple. But he was the man that God was going to use to bring Apostle Paul in the presence of God. He baptized Paul in water. He prayed for Paul to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle that changed nations. This general was going to meet God, and a whole country, the country of Syria, was going to know the true living God. And this girl was the key. And I want to tell you something. You are the key. Your weakness is the key. Your problem is the key. Your need is the key. Your infirmity is the key that God wants to use for a miracle. You serving people is the door into people's miracles. In the book of Acts, in chapter 6, the church was growing so much. And during the time of growth, there was a lot of needs. Because when the church grows, there's a lot of needs. And some of those needs were not met. And people started complaining because, like I said, human nature. And they started complaining. So then the apostle, what did they do? They appointed men that will take care of the needs of the people. Now those men that were, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were strong in faith. They were great men of God. They could have said, we don't want to take care of the tables. We don't want to go and feed some widow women. We're too good for that. They could have said that. But what did they do? They went and they served at the tables. And while they were serving those women, they said, well, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? I see that you're walking with a limb. I see that you're having a problem. I see your need. Let's pray together. And then God started doing miracles through them. Miracles through them. Because serving is a door towards miracles. It's not the title that is a door to the miracle. That general had a title, but that girl had the key. Her serving in a place of pain, in a place of discomfort. Her choosing to serve people that got her into that place and loving them. That was a key to a change and revival in a whole country. It is not our anger that will change our countries. It is our love. It was not anger that brought revival first on the earth through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was His serving, His sacrifice, His pure love, His forgiveness that changed the world. It is what the world needs today, not just in the States, not just in Romania, everywhere. It is the love of the church. Let's love people. Let's say this together. Let's love people. Let's love people. You know that love is not hard. Love is easy. Love is easier than anger. Anger will keep you awake at night. Love will help you fall asleep just like I lie in my house today. Love will keep you out of the hospital. It is unforgiveness that is the biggest cause of cancer. Medically proved. I want to share today what this girl did. She said this. She said, would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Now she didn't even know the prophet's name. She probably forgot it. She was just a little girl. She didn't know his name is Elisha. But listen to this. She knew where the presence of God was. Because during that time, the presence of God would come on the prophets. The presence of God would come in a certain place. The manifest presence of God still comes as we come and gather together in His name. We can say, well, I can be in the presence of God at home by myself. And it's true. But Jesus said this, where two or three gather together in my name. everywhere in the New Testament is not just the story of the universal church, it is the story of the local church. How powerful the local church is. How powerful the local church community is. It is not just the story of the Christians all over the world, it is the story of every single place. Every city where there was a church, it talks about how beautiful the church was, their own struggles, their victories. But it is the story of the local church. And when Paul writes different epistles, he writes them to local church leaders. He writes them to local churches. And then he shares, I think that message that I sent to you guys for Sunday morning, you should also give it to that other local church so that they can hear it too. But he always goes to the local churches. This is something so powerful that is happening here, because that girl says, I know where the presence of God is. And we need to be able to tell our friends and family members, I know where there is a solution for your situation and for your own struggle. It is the presence of God, and I know that is coming every Sunday morning in my church. I know that when those people get up on the stage and they start praising the Lord, the Bible says that He dwells among the praises of His people. I know that His presence comes among us, and when my pastor comes and starts preaching, I mean, heaven will open and hell will leave. And I know that God will do a miracle. We need to be like that little girl. She went to the woman that never said a kind word to her. But that should not stop us from bringing them to Jesus. They should not stop us just because they are mean and they're not considerate of our own feelings. They should never stop us. They just need Jesus. Let's say this together this morning. They just need Jesus. Sometimes we can think like that even about our Christian family. They just need Jesus. They didn't wake up with Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. This girl, she says, I know about the presence of God, and I know about the gifts of the Spirit. I know about the Holy Spirit. She's talking about prophecy there. She says, and I know something else. I know about miracles. I know about healings. As a little girl, her mom would probably tell her, did you hear what happened this week? Did you hear what the prophet Elisha did this week? Did you hear how God visited our people and how He healed that person and that person? I mean, that girl grew up in a family that was not ashamed of their faith. And they talked about miracles all the time. Why? Because when she saw a need, when she saw sickness, her immediate reaction was not, you need to go to the doctor right now. Her immediate reaction was, I know what needs to be done. There was no doubt in the sound of her voice. This little girl didn't say, well, if it is God's will, he might be healed. Well, if he repents, he will be healed. Now, repentance is great, and we should all repent for whatever trouble we did. But she didn't say, he might get healed. Maybe in a year, maybe if he does a lot of good works. She said, if he was in that place, if he got close to the presence of God, he will be healed. That little girl said exactly like that woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Like the centurion man said, if you just send your word, my servant will be healed. It's not maybe he will be healed. Maybe he will feel better. There was no doubt in the sound of her voice. And God wants to remove doubt from the sound of His church. Because we need to cast away all doubt, all worry, all fear. Let faith arise. I believe, that's why I spoke. She had faith, so she spoke. She said, I know what needs to happen. And the woman, her mistress, she heard this. My husband be healed. And Naaman heard it. And Naaman goes to his king. This is what he knows how to do. He goes to his king and said, there is a little girl. This is what she said. You might think that your words are not powerful, but they are. Those little sentences that you say to somebody to encourage them, that to tell them about God, to say something that God spoke to you this morning or this week, something that you heard in the message last Sunday, this Sunday, next Sunday, that you meet people at your working place, grocery stores, and you just say something, and you think it's just something. It's not just something. It has life in it. Because if it is from the Word of God, it has life in it. If it has faith, it has life to it. And that general goes to his king and says, I know that there is something. There is something there in Israel, and I want to go. He probably tried a lot of stuff. He probably tried a lot of things. And we might have tried a lot of things to ease our pain. Sometimes it's addictions. Sometimes it's relationships. We can try a lot of things to deal with our own suffering, with our pain, with our weakness. And he probably tried a lot himself. But this is a new day for him. This is something that he has not tried before. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she tried everything. She spent all of her money on doctors. But she was going to try something different. It's a new day. It's time for us to try this one thing, getting into the presence of God. Let's give it a try. Let's be perseverant. Let's not stop until we get a hold of His grace. And the general gets a letter from his king. And he goes with that letter to the king of Israel. So he goes to the king of Israel, and this is what the letter said. When my servant comes to you, you're supposed to heal him of his leprosy. Now a natural man cannot deal with spiritual things. He went with his problem to the wrong person. How many times have we done that before? Going with our problem to the wrong person. It only produces confusion. This is what the king of Israel said. Well, the king of Syria is trying to get in a fight with me. He's looking for trouble. He wants war. Because when you go with a problem, with the right problem, to the wrong person, it will produce confusion. And you're going to be yourself confused because they will give you wrong advice. Just because that king was an expert in being a king, it didn't mean that he knew anything about healing. And just because we are good in one area, it doesn't mean that we know everything. So we need to ask the Lord to say, who is the person that I can share this with? Who can pray with me about this problem? Because you want people that have faith, people that know the Lord. You don't want voices of doubt or unbelief around you to just make that problem even worse. You want people that can stand with you in prayer. You want other men, you want other women that can stand in prayer together with you and encourage you and see matters done, solved. The general goes to the king and nothing happens. And now He could have gone back home and thinking, well, there was just something else that I tried and it didn't work. And sometimes we can be familiar with religious life, but not with the true presence of God. And the king of Israel, he was a very religious man, but he did not know God, because he was one of the grandsons of King Ahab, who was an awful king in Israel that worshipped false gods. And he did not know God. So what does he do? He tore off his clothes. Now that was something that showed despair in a king. It was at that moment that he said, I'm done. My life is done. There is no hope for me. They're going to come and kill me. For a general to come to me and tell me, be healed, and I cannot do it. I cannot respond. I cannot help. That means only one thing, that I'm done. And they are here to kill me today. So he torn off his clothes. Despair. It was a law. There was a law that God gave that priests were not allowed to torn off their clothes, to tear them off. Why? Because priests were supposed to know the presence of God. And we are a royal priesthood. This is what Apostle Peter says. And we are people that know the presence of God. We can never allow ourselves to get into a place of despair. We can never allow ourselves to get away from the presence of God and to that place of hopelessness. Because when you're in that place of despair and hopelessness, that's when you make wrong decisions. And we cannot allow ourselves to get there. This general, he didn't get his problem solved. And in the middle of the whole scene, somehow Prophet Elisha, probably knowing from God, from other people, he sends this word to the king. Just send the general to me, and he will know that there is a God in Israel. And we as a church, we need to have this voice that tells people around us in our community, just come to our church and you will know that there is a God. This is what the book of 1 Corinthians says in chapter 14. The unbeliever will come among you. And the secrets of his heart are going to be unveiled through prophecy, through the gifts of the Spirit, through healings. He will know that there is a God among you. That God is alive among you. And this is what we need to tell people that are in a place of desperation, that are looking for answers. What are we supposed to do about this or about that? Come to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Come to church with me. I know where you can meet him. I know where he comes. I know where you can be healed. I know, because faith knows. Faith knows. It is our own doubt and our own unbelief that stops us from evangelizing. It is our own lack of knowing the Lord and how powerful he is that stops us from telling somebody, you can be healed. Amen. I know what God can do. This is what we need to tell people. I know what he can do. Why? He never lies. He never lies. I might not have experienced it yet, but I know that his word is yes and amen. And all things are possible with him. And you are not the exception to the rule. You're not a person that God doesn't love or doesn't care for. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. And Jesus loves you so much, and he's going to touch you today. Today. Not tomorrow, not maybe in a year, today. Why? Because faith knows. that when we come in His presence, when we preach the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, and when there is faith in the atmosphere, there has to be miracles among us. And God will break yokes, and God will break bondages. Why? Because He comes. And when He comes, nothing will be the same. Nothing will be the same. And that man starts going towards the prophet Elisha's house. And I want us to look together at this passage right now. It says here in verse 9, "So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house." Well, I could hardly believe it this morning when I saw Pastor Cricket put that scripture up about the servant girl and Peter standing in front of the door. I was like, isn't that something? Because God gave me the same verse, only from a different chapter. Isn't that something that God spoke to me this passage months ago? And when I was thinking about you guys, this came to me. And He says, so I'm going to read it again. "So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house." So he's standing at the door. And this man is used to royal treatment. He's used to people coming to him and saying, "Come on in." He's used to people doing all types of things for him. He's not used to what was going to happen next. He's not used to meeting a prophet. He was not used to what God had for him. He came with his own expectations. He came with his own plan. He was a man that was used to having strategies because he was a general. He said, probably thinking, and we see further down, that this is what he's saying, that he was expecting. He said, "Behold, I thought that he would surely," verse 11, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper." We go to church, we go to God with our own plan. And we say, "I want you to do it, but I want you to do it like this. I want that person to minister to me. I want that person to do it like this." Why do they have to just say one sentence to me and prophesy for 10 minutes to the other person? Sometimes we think of how church should look like, how people should worship. Said that he will wave his hand like this. Sometimes we don't like how people wave their hands in praise and worship. Said, "I was thinking that maybe he needs to pray like this. Maybe he should minister like this. Maybe they should preach like this. Maybe church should look like this. Maybe God should come in my life like this." And God wants to take our nice, beautiful plans and throw them out of the window and say, "Will you open your heart completely to me? Will you be the one knocking? Will you be the one persevering? Will you open the door to your heart and your life and everything that's in there? And let me come how I want to come." Because God was going to deal with his own pride and his own prejudice. I like that book, Pride and Prejudice. But he wanted to deal with that, his pride and his own prejudice. God was going to do a miracle in that man's life, but it was not going to come the way that he was expecting. And there's the other thing. When we go towards our miracle, when we take steps towards our miracle, it's not going to come the way that we planned it. We need to be humble. We need to be hungry. We need to be open. We need to open the door to our hearts and say, "Come, Lord, come. And come however you want to come. Because I believe that you will come. even if I don't understand it, even if it doesn't make sense to my natural mind, even if it's something that I'm not used to, because I didn't grow up in a church like this before. I was not in a situation like this before. I didn't see the gifts of the Spirit like this before. I was not accustomed to this. But still, come however you come. Come however you want to come. Jesus said, it's not my will I came to fulfill, but the will of my Heavenly Father. Not my will, but your will be done. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God wants His church to do. He said He wants us to be, Father, let your will be done. However you want that to happen. I'm not going to let offense stop me. I'm not going to allow my plan to stop me. This is my need. Let's say this together. Let's do it. This is my need, Jesus. This is my need. Just bring your need to the Lord. Bring your need to Jesus. And come close to His presence. Come close to Him. It's this in Psalm 84 in verse 10. Better a day in your house. In Psalm 73 in verse 28. The nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of your works. In Psalm 16 in verse 8. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He's close to me. I'm close to Him. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon His name. He wants us to call upon His name. He wants us to go close to Him, to come near Him. And that man was so close. And we are many times so close. And we're standing in front of the door of our miracle. And we stand there and we can get angry and frustrated because it didn't happen the way that we were expecting. And he left angry. He left angry. It says that he was angry. He was furious. You are so close to the presence of God. Sometimes I'm like, how did you leave church and you started a fight in your car? You are so close to the presence of God, so near Him, and then something messed up with your plan and your expectation, and you get angry because something interrupted our plan. Sometimes it is the time when I'm supposed to eat today, and I get upset that I'm not eating my food already. Somebody messed up with my plan. He was so close to His miracle. And what does He do? He turns around angry and He leaves. And now there is something else that happens. Because we can see people sometimes leaving church. They can be disappointed, upset, maybe even angry. But He had some men next to Him. He had His servants with Him. And one of His servants, just like the little girl, we don't know her name, and we don't know the servant's name. He goes to him and says, my father, if that prophet had asked you to do something that was difficult, because Elisha told him, go and wash yourself for 7 times in the river Jordan. And he didn't like the plan. He didn't like that thing. If that servant had asked you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? That servant ministered to somebody that was angry, upset, and frustrated. He ministered to him in love. He called him father, in respect and honor. He didn't say, your anger, your frustration is your weakness. And it probably was. Because the presence of God, when we come close to the presence of God, will bring our own problems up to the surface. That's why many times things happen in the church service or after a church service. Because we get close to the presence of God and it brings our own problems to the surface so that we can get rid of them. so that we can name them and know what they are and get rid of them, because those things stop us from walking into our own destiny and walking into our own potential. And that servant told him, maybe you should just do it. Let's just try it. Let's just give it a try. And Naaman goes and washes himself. And the seventh time, he could have stopped after the first, could have stopped after the second. Just like the prophet Elijah. He told his own servant, go and look. Is there a cloud? He came back the first time. No, nothing. He said, go back again. Second time, no, nothing. That servant, by the fifth time, could have been like, I'm done with this. And that servant could have said no to Elijah. But he kept on going. He kept on going. Naaman could have stopped. But there was something that those servants did when they came around their master and encouraged him, because encouragement will do something to the person's life. And then the seventh time, his skin was like a baby skin. The people of Israel walked once around the Jericho wall. Second day walked again once around the Jericho wall. The seventh day they walked for seven times around Jericho walls. And the seventh time when they shouted, the walls came down. Was there something in that seven? Was there something in that walk? Or what? Or maybe it was their obedience to what God told them to do. Because it doesn't make sense that walls that are thick will come down because somebody is shouting. It doesn't make sense that for 6 days, every single day, you'd walk around that wall and say nothing. Say nothing. And then the seventh day, you're supposed to do something. And all of those people, they had to do the same thing, because there is power in unity. There is power for miracles in unity. There is power for bondages to be broken in unity. That's why the enemy will fight to bring division in your family. Because once you're united, you and your husband can pray together and see miracles. Once you're united, you and your kids can pray together and see miracles. Once you're united, all things are possible with you. God said that even about people that were building something wrong. The Tower of Babel said everything is possible for them when they are one. There is a truth in the spirit the enemy will use so that he will bring division, because he knows how powerful it is when we are one. Blessed are you when you come together in unity. How good and pleasant it is for brother to walk together in unity, to come together. It is like the oil that comes. It's the oil of God, the presence of God. This man was set free from his infirmity. The little girl, she might have been a slave, but she was a free person. Because there was no unforgiveness, no anger in her. That general, he was a free man. He was strong and powerful, but he was bound by anger. He was bound by pride. We can look at people and think, oh, he's a free person. But they can be very bound. This is what Paul said. He whom Christ sets free is free indeed. We don't need to act like slaves, because slaves to fear, to doubt, to unbelief, to panic and anxiety. We don't need to act like that. We were set free by Christ Jesus Himself. And He wants His church to be free. He doesn't want us to be bound in our emotions, in our thoughts, in our souls. He wants us to be free. What did that general do? Something that was very simple. What is baptism in water? Something that is so simple, but it is the act of obedience, because we are obeying what God told us. To do that, as an act of obedience, He said this, you'll be buried together with Christ in that water, and you'll resurrect together with Him. And your old nature will die there. Now, if you believe it or not, it dies there. This is what the Bible says, it dies there. Now, sometimes the enemy will come and tell you, oh, you're the same person. No, it died there. It's just the enemy lying to you and deceiving you that thing didn't die yet. But it died there, and you have power over it. You have power over anger. You have power over violence. You have power over unforgiveness. You have power over doubt and unbelief. You have power over everything that the enemy tries to throw at you. Because you are free. You are set free by Christ. And today, He wants to bring deliverance to you from lies of the enemy. He wants to break the bondages that the enemy tried to put on your life. And some of them welcomed those bondages. Thought that they were normal, they were okay. That this is who we are and we cannot help it. But God wants to come and break that power. Today He wants to heal you. Why? Because He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He has not changed. Just because He went to heaven, it doesn't mean that He cannot do it. Well, in fact, He said that He will send us the Holy Spirit that is with us all the time, everywhere, and not just like it was during time of Jesus. He was in Jericho today, healings happened there. He was in Jordan tomorrow, healings would happen there. He was in Bethsaida next day, healings would happen there. Now, the Holy Spirit has come, and He is everywhere. And He's in you, and He's among you. So wherever we meet, He comes. And the same things that Jesus did when He was on earth, He can do the same things here today in El Dorado. And He wants to do them because He loves this church. And He loves you. And you are here today, and you already have taken steps towards your miracle. Right now, you're in front of the door. And you choose right now, in this very moment, are you going to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to welcome Him in your life? Are you going to receive today, right now, the gift of His Holy Spirit? So that He will come and fill you. So that He will come today and heal you. Are you going to remove that doubt, that voice of fear, and say, go away, leave me alone. Right now, I'm at the door of my miracle, and nobody is going to mess up with God's plan for my life, and I'm not going to allow any thought of doubt. Today is my day. Let's say this together. Today is my day. Look at your neighbor and tell him, today is my day. I don't know about you. Tell your neighbor, I don't know about you, but today is my day. It's my day. So let's stand tonight, today, right now, in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about tonight, obviously. I think that God wants to break despair. He wants to break that fear, that doubt, that unbelief. And He wants us to put faith in our hearts. So let's open our heart right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Some of you may have to go home. May the Lord visit you. May you come tonight with expectation. Some of you may have to go early, but I want to say this. Those of you that can stay, stay. Stay and be hungry. Stay and don't think, well, I want that one person only to pray for me. There will be people praying up here in the front. And don't come with a plan in the front here. Don't come with a list of things. Come with hunger. Come with faith. Come with expectation. Come and say, Jesus, however you want to do this, do it. If today you want to give your life to the Lord and say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. He has forgiven your sins. He paid a price for that. Don't let hell come in your life. Don't let hell keep you away from Jesus. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. I just want to encourage you today that you have, if you have not done this yet, invite Jesus in your heart. Give Him your sins. Give Him your past. Give Him everything. And say, wash me. Forgive me for everything that I have done. Forgive me and give me eternal life. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died in my place on the cross, that you suffered for my sins. Forgive me and come and be my Lord and Savior.